Today's Shiz Masechet Bava Basra Daf Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph on the Tapir Amud Lishnachrina. In our previous shir, the Gemara had discussed how to understand the word Mechitza that is used in our Mishnah, because by understanding how to define that word, it will have direct bearing on the subject of Hezek Ri Shmei Hezek, if damage that's done by somebody looking into somebody else's property is considered Hezek or it's not considered Hezek. So our shiur today begins with essentially repeating what was learned in the previous shiur, but just saying it in the opposite way. So says the Gemara Lishnachrin Amrila, a different version of our previous discussion, Savrua. In the yeshiva, they assumed my mechitza. What is the definition of the word mechitza? Pelukta. It means a division. As we find that the pasuk says the ksiva team mechitza sa'eda. So you see that the word for division is mechitza. And the pasuk is trying to teach, and the Mishnah is trying to teach us that if partners wanted to divide a chatzar, they are obligated to build a wall. Says the Gemara, what do we see from that definition of the Mishnah? The Kivan Deratzu, since they both agreed to divide the wall, Kivan Deratzu, since they both agreed to divide the Chatzar, then once that's in place, we could force them to build a wall. Why? Because Alma, because once we have the Chatzar divided into two, then we have a concept of Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, and therefore I could say you have to build a wall, you shouldn't be able to look into my property. So I saw that the Knesset HaGdoila, the Pesach Tshuva, speaks about a case from the, he quotes the Knesset HaGdoila, where somebody wanted to build a porch for his home, and the neighbor said that by you building this porch, you're going to block my ability to see into the street. And the question is that considered Hezek Riyah? And the Knesset HaGdoila is very clear in telling us that the definition of Hezek Riyah is that Hezek Riyah means that I should not be able to see into your chatzar, you shouldn't be able to see into my chatzar. But what's happening here is that I block you from being able to see what you were able to see till now. That's not called Hezek Riyah. And the same I saw that as we speak and will speak about what materials are used to build the wall. So sometimes the materials could prevent you from one of us seeing into the other one's property, but what it can't prevent is hearing what's doing in the other property. And what's the halacha regarding shmia? And I saw that the Paiskim say that again, our Gemara has been focused on Hezek Riyah, that the halacha is regarding Hezek Riyah. The Gemara has not been focused on the issue of Hezek shmia. There's no such. There is no halachic concept of a hezek shmia, and therefore there the halacha is you can't say to me, well, you're causing me hezek shmia. Says the Gemara, who says the way to understand the definition of mechitza is that they decided to divide the property, and that will be a proof that hezek riyah shmei hezek. Ema, maybe we should understand the Mishnah as my mechitza guda. The definition of mechitza means a wall. The Tanan, and we have a precedent for that based on what we learned in the previous year, where you have a mechitza kerem shenifritza, if you have a wall dividing between two properties, and the Mishnah spoke there about that wall breaking, and the Mishnah spoke, oimaloi, the person who owns the field next to the property, the vineyard, oimaloi gedor, he tells him, close it up. Nifritza, and then it broke again. I'm really good. He could again tell him, close it. Nishyashim Menav Leigadra. But if the person owns the vineyard, then not do as he was told. Harez a Kiddush, and then the vines go into the other property. Then the halacha is that he has to pay for the damage. So we see that the definition of mechitza is that the definition of our Mishnah will be that both of us agreed to divide this property. But it has nothing to do with Hezek Riyah. Because as the Gemara says, Tam deratzu, because we both agreed, Halei Ratzu, if we did not agree, we cannot be forced to make that wall. Alma, why can we not be forced to make that wall? Because obviously, Hezek Riyah, Loishma Hezek. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to explain the Mishnah. So the Mishnah began that the two partners agreed to make a mechitza. The two people agreed to make the wall. So why would the Mishnah, in the word mechitza means wall, so why would the Mishnah repeat itself with the words bainin asakaisel? The Mishnah should say, bainin aisem ebaile. We just spoke about the wall, and the Mishnah continues saying that wall should be put up. Elamai, so what are you going to say? That will prove, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, that will prove that the definition of mechitza is that they agree to divide, and once they agree to divide, they have to put up a wall because of Hezek Riyah. That's the word mechitza means plukta, that they agree to divide. Yachu asked the Gemara if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, shirotzo lasis mechitza. The wording is misleading. It shouldn't have said rotz lachsis mechitza. The point of our Mishnah is rotz lachsis mebaile, that they agreed to divide the property. Answers the Gemara, that isn't so hard to understand. Because when people want to divide, sometimes the way they express themselves, k'amri inchi, tod navit pelukta, let's make a division. Let's make a division, which sounds like making a war, but it really means just making a division. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying now that Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, my area, that why does the Mishnah have to say Rotsu, that they both agreed to divide, afilu loy Rotsu Nami, since there's a concern of Hezek Riyah, why do we need their agreement? Answers the Gemara, as we're going to be discussing extensively. Not every chotzer can the partners of the chotzer, the inhabitants of the chotzer, force to divide the chotzer. Our Mishnah, says Rav Asi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Seinu Kishein Bei Din Chalukah, the chotzer is not large enough to be divided. The shear for that is that each partner should have an area of Dalad al Dalad, and therefore, only in a case where they both agreed can they be compelled to divide. Ask the Gemara. So my Kamashmon, so according to this, what is the Mishnah, what is our Mishnah teaching us? The Chiles by Din Chaluka, if we're not going to be left each one with four Amis, only Kirotsu, if they both agree, Palgu to divide the Chatzar, and otherwise they can't be asked to divide the Chatzar. But ask the Gemara, if that's what our Mishnah is teaching us, Tanina, we're going to learn that in a Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem and Dafir Aleph, on the Mishnah, Amin Aleph, because the Mishnah says there, Amasai, when could we say that if they each won't be left with Dalet Amis, we don't divide the Chatzar? That's Bezman She'en Shneim Rotzim, when both of them don't want to divide it. Av Bezman She'en Rotzim, if both partners agree to divide it, Afil Pachs Mekan, it doesn't make a difference how small it is, the halacha will be that Chalkim, that we divide. And as Tosfos explains the Gemara, what Tosfos says, what the Gemara means to say is that even though, as we're learning now, that our Mishnah is coming to teach us the halacha of Hezek Riyah, part of the question is, why did the Tana of the Mishnayis choose to teach us the halacha of Hezek Riyah, specifically in the case of a chatzar she'en bo din chalukah, when it's such a small chatzar? If the point of the Mishnah's teaching is that when dividing a chatzar, we have to be concerned about Hezek Riyah, so why did the Mishnah have to choose a case, according to the way we're learning now, where there was less than dal amos, it's she'en bo din chalukah? The concept of Hezek Riyah is not in any way connected to that halacha. Answers the Gemara, Ima Hasam, if we had only that Mishnah Havamina, afilu b'pax mekan b'sipas b'alma. That yes, when we have a small chatzar, if both parties agree to divide, we divide. But since it's such a small chatzar, we divide it only with a small division. Kamashma l'hacha, that once we divide, if there's agreement that we're going to divide this chatzar in two, the way it should be divided is kaisel with a proper wall. That's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. So ask the Gemara, that's a very important chiddush. But if that's the case, listen ha v'lo listen hach. So let's just learn our Mishnah. Why was it necessary to teach us the next Mishnah? And the Gemara Sefer Tzurkalei. The Mishnah over there taught us the Kesve Kodesh. When we speak about Sfarim, Api Shishneim Rotsim, even if both owners of a Sefer are agreeable to divide it, the Loch is Loyach Loiku, we shouldn't divide it because it's a bazillion to the Sefer. That's the point of the next Mishnah. The Achrayim tell us that the words that are in the parentheses should be skipped. So begins the Gemara. V'mayu kinta l'masnisin. So continues the Gemara. How have we explained that Mishnah? That our Mishnah is speaking about a chotzer she'en bo din chaluka. That it's not large enough that we could demand them to divide. And therefore the Mishnah said, rotsu, that they agreed. Asked the Gemara, I b'chotzer she'en bo din chaluka, k'ratzu b'havi. Says the Gemara, yes. Once they agreed, so then the halacha is that they have to put up a wall because it has a griya. But ask the Gemara, if they agree, they should always have the right of Nehedra Behu. They have a right to be able to back out. So why is the halacha that they can't, why is the halacha that once they agreed, it can't be reversed? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yoichran. The Mishnah is speaking about a case, Shekana B'yodin, that they did a kinyan. And since they concretized this agreement with a kinyan, that's why it can't be reversed. Ask the Gemara, Shekana B'yodin I have it. Even if there was a kinyan, it's just a kinyan devarim ba'alma. It's just words, and that could be reversed. And I saw Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, Zatzal, and the Shur Rav Shmuel explains that the definition of a kinyan dvarim is that when it has to be something concrete, and therefore, if it's just saying that I'm going to do something, it's not concrete enough that it should be a kinyan. Answers the Gemara, no. It was here it's referring to a situation, shekana b'yodin beruchas, that each one of them chose a side of the chatzar. Not only did they chose a side of the chatzar, then they actually became owners of that side. So it's something firm. Rav Ashi Amar, Kegoyin, Shalachzeh, Metach Shalai V'Hechzik, that they actually did a Kenyan Chazaka. That the halacha throughout Shas is that property could be bought with a Kenyan Chazaka. And that's exactly what happened here, that there was a Kenyan Chazaka. And once there was a Kenyan Chazaka, the halacha is each one of them walked in the part that's going to be theirs. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim, how to react to this Gemara. The Ramban says that these two answers are not really disagreeing. The Gemara is giving two different examples how we could have a kinyan here. One is a kinyan chalipin, and one is a kinyan chazaka. But each man, the Amr, agrees to the other one that the kinyan is fine. But then I saw that there is maybe a difference between a kinyan chalipin and a kinyan chazaka. By a kinyan chalipin, the way to understand the kinyan chalipin in our Gemara is that each one of them chose that they chose which side of the property is going to be theirs. The halacha is that by a kinyan chalipin, even if one chose, and the other one did not yet chose, the fact that one did a kinyan, it's sufficient for the other one. By a kinyan chazaka, there's a machloikis, and that might be the machloikis harishonim here. Do you need to have both of them doing a kinyan chazaka, or if just one of them did a kinyan chazaka, that will be adequate. Makom shenagu ligvais. So we learned in the Mishnah about the different materials the Mishnah discussed that could be used to build the wall. Gvil, so the Mishnah defines what is gvil. The word gvil means avne delay mishapya, stones that weren't smoothed. And Tosfos says that there's a very nice precedent how to understand that gvil means something that wasn't processed yet. Tosfos says that just like we find that when we speak about the klaf, the parchment that's used for Sefer Torah, so the halacha speaks about a parchment that was processed and a parchment that wasn't yet processed. And gvil means a parchment that wasn't yet processed. So says Tosfos, that's what gvil is going to mean in this year, that it wasn't, the stones are not smooth. Gozes, and now we understand why gvil has a bigger shear than the other ones, because since the stones, and the Gemara will speak about it, were in process, so they take up more room. Gosnes, on the other hand, are avne de mishapya, are stones that were already smoothed out, the ksiv, as the pasuk says regarding the stones that Shlomo HaMelech used to build the base of Mikdash, kol elo avarim yukaris kamidas gozes, mikdoris and magera, they were used with a plane to smooth out. Kefisin arichi, half bricks. And when you have two half bricks, the halacha is you're going to need to have room for the brick, and because they're split in two, you're going to have space in between. So a brick is three tfachim, so each half is 1.5 and 1.5, but you need a tefach of cement to connect the two halves. Levenim or livni, are whole bricks. So since they're whole bricks, I don't need to have more than three tefachim. Amle Rava Breid Rava LeRavashi. May the gvil avdid loy mishapya nenu. Why are you saying that the definition of gvil are stones that weren't smoothed out? And therefore, as we explained, v'hai tefach yaseir, why is it wider lemorsha de karnasa? Because the what's protruding, the pieces of stone that are protruding, dilma palga de gozosu. Maybe the definition of gvil is palgal the gozes. Well, gozes we said is 5 tfachim, and the gvil will be 2 half gozes. But why is it now 6 tfachim? The high tefach yaseir, why you need an extra tefach, lebeni arba, is because of the cement that you have to put in between. Kremrinin, like we explained, perich psichin are orchin, kfisim are half bricks, and levenim are whole bricks. And we explained a moment ago, v'hai tefach yaseira, why are these a tefach wider than the other? Glebeni arba, says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav Ashi says, l'tamech, according to the way you're explaining the Gemara, kfisim archi, how do you know that the definition of kfisim means half bricks? Menolon, maybe it means that they're just not smoothed out brick. Maybe we should explain that it means that they're bricks that are not smooth, and because the bricks are not smooth, there are pieces of stone sticking out, and that's what makes it far wider. Why over here are you saying that it means because it has that cement? Elo, says the Gemara Gemirala, they had a Kabbalah that this is the definition of the words of our Mishnah. Gvil Nami, so when we speak about Gvil, then we said that the definition of Gvil is Avne Delem Shapya, stones that are not smooth. How do we know that that's the definition of Gvil? Gemara Gemirala. And the Rishonim say, why is it important to know all of these definitions? The reason it's important to know all these definitions is for Mekach u'Memkar. If I contracted to sell or buy the various types of stones that are listed in the Mishnah, so we need to know exactly what each type of stone is, because we should know what am I obligated to give, what have you contracted to buy. And therefore, the Mishnah is very careful. The Gemara needs to have a clear definition of what everything is. Ikadamri, says the Gemara, Omer Leir of Achabreid of Avil Ravashi. What makes you say that Kfisim means half bricks? And the reason Kfisim are wider than Levenim. The high Tefach Yaseir, the reason it's a Tefach wider, 4 Tfachim versus 3 Tfachim. Because Lebeni Urba to put the cement there, Dilma Mike Fisin, Avdidloy Meshapian, maybe it means stones that weren't smoothed. And again, the high tefach yisera, bricks that aren't smooth. The high tefach yisera, and why is it wider? The mush, the karnasa, for the pieces of stone that protrude. Kremrinin, just like we define, gavil is avna deloy mishapian, the gazn is avna de mishapian, the high tefach yisera, and the reason gavil is wider than gazes is because the mush, the karnasa, for the stone that's sticking out. Amalei, u'tameich, according to you, Gevil avne delay mishapim nolan. How do you know that gevil means stones that aren't smooth? Maybe it means half gauzes, and we have to take in consideration the cement. The answer is Gemara Gemarilo. They had a Kabbalah from the Rebbe's how to understand the Mishnah. Hachanami Gemara Gemarilo. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, but now that we've defined that the difference between kfisim and levenim is that kfisim are half bricks, and therefore we have to take in consideration place for the cement, kol b'nei urbi should be is a tefach. And again, it will be nafkamina, that if somebody contracts to buy kfisim, you have to give him that space for cement, which is a tefach. But says the Gemara, when is the halacha that it takes up a tefach? Hani mili betina, when you're putting cement there. Avol rechsa, when you make the cement is made out of small pebbles, it's a different type of cement, and that needs more. Vikadamri, and some say just the opposite. Hanimili, when is a tefach required for the Beni Urba Berichsa, when it's cement that's made out of stones and cement? Avo Batina, if it's pure cement, Lebaikulahai, you don't need a width of a tefach. Says the Gemara. So now we've learned, Lememra, the gauzes, when we have a wall made out of gauzes, kol arba amas goiva, when we have a height of four tfachim, we need, you have a posya chamisha koi, if we'll have, because as we learned in our previous year, we're going to learn in our coming shiurim, that the height of the wall that the Mishnah requires to prevent hezek riyah is four amas tall. So we're saying now that if you have a wall that's four amas tall, in order to stand, it has to be five tfachim wide. That's when a kaya will be able to stand. If you lie, but if it will not be that wide, like kaya won't be able to stand. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to have a wall that's eight amas tall, you're going to need a width of ten tfachim. But ask the Gemara, ha'amatraskin, the wall that was in the Beis HaMikdash, which separated between the Heichel and the Kotche Kotchim, which was built out of the Avnei Gozes, to have a govern Tlosa Amasa, it was 30 Amma tall, for lo yava Pusya, al Shiz Pushchi, even though it was 30 Amas tall, much taller than our Mishnah, and yet it only had a width of 6 Tfachim, and yet, come, it stood. So the Pnei Shlem asks a question. How can we compare the two situations? Our Mishnah is speaking about a wall that's out in the open in the Chatzar. And that's why maybe it needs more width to stand. The Amatraskin was in the Beis HaMikdash, so it doesn't need that type of width to stand. So answers the Pnei Shlema, yes, if the wall of the Beis HaMikdash were just a little taller than the wall of our Mishnah, then we can make an argument that wall doesn't need the same type of relationship height to width. But it was so much taller, as we just said, it was 30 amma tall. If we're following the logic of our Mishnah, the shiurim of our Mishnah, it doesn't make sense how a wall that's 30 amas tall could just stand with a width of 6 tfachim. Answers the Gemara, no. Kivin the eker tefach yisera, once it's 6 tfachim wide, it doesn't make a difference how tall it is, koi. And as I saw, the Yad Ramah explains, just like we find that the Torah says, Eich yirdav echad elef v'shnayim yinisu revava, 1 to 1,000, 2 to 10,000. So we see that the more gives you more. And Tosfos answers also, Tosfos adds, because this wall in the Beis HaMikdash reached the ceiling, so the ceiling gave it the strength to be able to stand. Says the, but now ask the Gemara a different question. The Beis HaMikdash Sheni, there wasn't a wall. there was an amatraskin, two curtains, one next to the other, and they walked from, when they entered from the Kodesh Kodashim, they entered on one side, and then they walked to the Kodesh Kodashim, they entered on the west side, and they exited on the east side, and there was an amma in between. So ask the Gemara, but why did they build it that way? They make the Sheni, my Tamil, of an amatraskin. Why don't they make a wall like this in the biggest Sheni? Answers the Gemara, Ki Koi, when could a wall that's 6 tefachim wide stand, even if it's very tall, when it's tlosin koi, when it's only 30 amas tall? Tfei, but if it's taller, loy koi. So the obvious question is, so make the wall wider. So the Rishonim all explain that the Pasuk says, Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai heskel. Every inch of the Beis HaMikdash was extremely calculated, and you can't use it for something else. So they didn't have the room to make it wider because they were taking away from something else. And even suggest the Rishonim, so why don't you just extend the Beis HaMikdash? Because even extending the Beis HaMikdash, and like that you'll have the room to make a wider wall, is also not an option. And the reason it's not an option is because the wall is the azara is also critical, exactly how big the azara has to be, and therefore you have no right to extend the Beis HaMikdash. Umanolan asked the Gemara, and from where do we indeed know have a gvoya tfei that the Bigdash Sheni was so much taller than the Beis HaMikdash Rishon? Says the Gemara, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Gol Yeh Kvayra Baiz is a Achim and a Rishon. And says the Gemara, there's a Machloikis, how to understand that it was greater. Rav Shmuel, Amri Le Rav Yochanan Rav Loza, Charam of Abinyan, that the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was taller than the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. The Charamer, it was greater, Bishonim, because the Beis HaMikdash Rishon only stood for 410 years, and the Beis HaMikdash Sheni stood for 120 years. So many Rishonim and Achronim asked the question, here the Pasuk calls the Beis HaMikdash Sheni Ha'achron, but the Beis HaMikdash Sheni we know and believe is not the Beis HaMikdash Achron. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash Shlishi. So how could the Beis HaMikdash Sheni be called Achron? So Rashba says that the word Achron is used as in a relative term. It's used compared to the Beis HaMikdash Shrishin. That's the Rashba's teretz, but of course there's going to be a Beis Shlishi. He says that another teretz that the Rishonim give is the Beis HaMikdash Rishon and the Beis HaMikdash Sheni are similar. They were man-made Batei Mikdash. They had differences, as we're learning. The Beis HaMikdash Shlishi is entirely different. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests is that if we look, and many Svarim work with this teretz, if we look at the difference between the Beis HaMikdash Rishon and the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, what made it great was the Orin and the Luchas that were all in there. What made the Beis HaMikdash Sheni great was the building, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and our coming Shir, what a beautiful building it was. So we're comparing those two Batei Mikdash. When we speak about those two Batei Mikdash, so this is the Rishon and this is the Achron. The Beis HaMikdash Shlishi is an entirely different type of structure. And actually, I saw that the Gra has a similar approach to this question. The Gra says that if you look at the Beis HaMikdash Rishon and you look at the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash Rishon we would call something that is a Serusa Del'ela. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon emanates from Shamayim. It had the Luchas, it had the Shechinah. The Beis HaMikdash Sheni's Kedusha emanates from a Serusa Del'Asata, from what we put into the Beis HaMikdash, from the way we built the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Rishon and the Achron, we're comparing those two Batei Mikdash. But the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi is going to be a whole different type of Beis HaMikdash. And since that Beis HaMikdash is going to be a whole different type of a Beis HaMikdash, it's not counted together when we speak about, it's not considered together when we speak about Rishon and Achron. Says the Gemara, V'isalaha V'isalaha, it says the Gemara that both are correct. It had the second Beis HaMikdash was taller, it was lasted longer, and it was also taller. Both truths are correct. Says the Gemara. So we understand now why we can't make a wall so tall in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, because if we're going to try to make it so tall, it won't be able to stand. So ask the Gemara, but why didn't they make the Venevda plus the Amr Bebinyan, a wall of 30 Amos by 6 Tvachim, and then the rest, V'idach Neved Proiches. Answers the Gemara, Ki Koi Tlos and Amosah, when will the wall that's 30 Amos tall by 6 Tvachim wide stand? Because it's connected to the ceiling. Nami Agav Tikr or Meziva Koi, because it's connected to the ceiling. But if we're only going to have it partial, B'loi Tikr Meziva Lava Koi. So ask the Gemara, I understand. So you can't even have a 30 amot tall. But ask the Gemara, Le'evid ma de'efshev binyan, make a wall that's strong enough to be able to stand, and then the remainder, V'lemevid idach preiches. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye Gemiri, Ikula b'binyan. There's two options. It's not nice to make it partially wall and partially curtain. Ikula b'binyan, Ikula b'preiches. Ikula b'binyan, we learn from Migdash Rishon, where there it was just a wall. Ikula preiches, that's why the Mishkan had a preiches. But a combination is not an option. Ibailahu. So now ask the Gemara, when we speak about the shurim of a Mishnah, 6 tfachim and 5 tfachim, typically they put a coating of cement, of lime, on top of the stone. The question is that included or not? And there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, where did they put the coating? Did they put the coating on all the different materials that are listed in the Mishkan or on some of them? Idilma, Heim B'lai Sidon, is the Sid not connected? So the Rishonim ask, our Mishnah said, Kakel Minig HaMedina. So we should just know, what is the Minig HaMedina? So Rishonim answer, the question is that what does the Sid accomplish? Is the Sid there to protect the wall from the rain? And therefore, of course, it has to have Sid. Or is the Sid not there for such a strong purpose, and therefore the Sid is not required? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mestabra Hein V'Sidon. This Akedat Hein B'Lei Sidon, listen to Shiurei. Most walls have Sid. Elav Shema Amino Hein V'Sidon. Says the Gemara Loi. It's not a compelling proof. When the Mishnah speaks about the walls, it's below Sidon, it's out the line. So why is it not mentioned? Says the Gemara, since the Sid doesn't take up a Tefach, Loitani, it wasn't necessary to be mentioned. Says the Gemara, but you see that the Mishnah doesn't only speak about Tefachim. So you see that the Mishnah speaks about half Tefachim. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Chazalot Terufa. Yes, the Mishnah speaks about half tefachim, but they can combine a tefach and a half plus a tefach and a half is three whole tefachim. Tashma, the Mishnah Masecht Ervin discusses that if somebody has a mavi, which is an alleyway open to Rishus Rabbim, how could I carry in that mavi, which is really Rishus Yachid? I have to make a kaira, a beam over the entrance. In, together with Shtufim Mavas, and then we could carry in the Mavli. So says the Mishnah Masechta Ervin, HaKar Sh'amar Ruchava Kedei L'Kabel Ariach, it has to be wide enough to hold an Ariach, V'Ariach Chatzi Levena Sh'Shloish Tfachim. So we see that the Levena itself is three Tfachim. So Mishnah itself that speaks about three Tfachim being a Levena is without the Sid. Says the Gemara Hasam, it's talking about Beravrasa, big stone. So it could be a big brick takes up three tfachim even without the cement. But our Mishnah speaking about a smaller brick, our Mishnah speaking about a smaller brick, when we speak about a smaller brick, the halacha is that it could be that the three tefachim that are mentioned in our Mishnah include the cement. Deikanami, and I'll prove to you that that's the way. The tani shel shloshet tefachim. The Mishnah over there uses the words, the brick that is a three tefach brick. It comes to teach us, mechlal dikazutra, that there are smaller than bricks than that, shmamina, and that's the brick that's being discussed in our Mishnah. Teaches us the Gemara. Because we've spoken about the Beis HaMikdash, so teaches us the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Layista Inish Bei Kenishta, a person may not demolish a Beis HaKnesses, add the Bona Bei Kenishta Achrita, until he builds another Beis HaKnesses. Ikad Amri, and the Gemara gives two reasons as to why. Ikad Amri B'Shem Pshu Asai, we're concerned that you may not build the new shul, and now you'll be left without a shul. Ikad Amri B'Shem Tzluyei, you have to have a place. You have to have a place to daven. So the Chassam Sofer asks a question that the Torah Kedosha says, "Loisasu kein Hashem l'keichan." We have to treat our Kodesh Baruch Hu with the greatest respect. So if that's the case, why would we be allowed to demolish a shul? That should be a consideration, "Loisasu kein Hashem l'keichan." And actually, the Shaila Tshuvas Shoyel Meishiv indicates that actually is the basis of our discussion. The Ratvaz also says that is the basis of the discussion of the Gemara, but the Ratvaz adds a point. Ratvaz adds a point that just like under certain circumstances you're allowed to erase Hashem's name when it's for a constructive purpose, the Gemara here is also saying you're allowed to demolish a shul for constructive purpose to build another shul, but with the only with the proper conditions. But the Chassam Sofer's approach is that we're speaking here about materials. And the question is, as we always speak, the halacha is that something, when we speak about a material could be redeemed. The hegdish of a material could be redeemed. And that's the discussion of our Gemara. If the hegdish of a material could be redeemed, so maybe you'd be allowed to demolish a shul. The question is when. The Prima Gadim says that just like our Gemara said the halacha regarding a Beis HaKnesses, the same halacha applies to Beis HaMikdash. The Shaul Simchuvus Marshag disagrees. He says that even though Beis HaMikdash is a place that's designated for learning, and learning is Torah is even greater than davening, but it doesn't have the halacha, and I think perhaps the Machlokes, the Prima Gadim, the Mashag, is connected to the question that we just spoke about. If there's an issue of Leisasa Kein, Hashem Elokeichem. If it's Leisasa Kein, Hashem Elokeichem, it may be like the Mashag says, only limited to Beis HaKnesses. If it's for the other reasons, then it'll be regarding anything, says the Gemara. My benayu. So Gemara gave us two reasons why we may not demolish a Beis HaKnesses. Ask the Gemara, my benayu. Ik benayu, dikka duchta letzluya. There's another place to daven. So the Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is, if there's another place to daven, so there's no concern that we don't have where to daven, but there is a concern that they may not come to build another shul. But there is a concern of Pshiwasai. Some say just the opposite. When there's another place to daven, so people become comfortable. It's not that pressure to build another shul. If the issue is pshuosoy, so that exists under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, Meremer Marzutra had shul, the Sasra Bana Kite, they had two shul. The posh pshat in the Gemara is that they had two shuls, or a shul that they used in the winter and a shul that they used in the summer. Posh pshat is that the shul that they used in the summer was a large room, big windows to bring the fresh air in. The shul that they used in the winter was a smaller room, no windows. The Sasra Bana Bei Kaita B'Sisa, they would demolish the winter shul during the summer. Bana Bei Sisa B'Kaita, and they would demolish the winter shul during the summer. So again, there were two shuls, and the Gemara says that they would alternate in repairing the shuls. There were other Rishonim who have a different approach. Their approach is that they had only one shoe, and this shoe they would modify according to the time that they had to. Of course, the question is, we just said you're now allowed to malice the shoe. So how are they allowed to malice the shoes? So again, if there's another place to daven, so according to one opinion, it's not a problem. Or because the shul had a cracks in the wall, and therefore they had cracks, then we could be more lenient. Or a shul that is only meant to be used during a specific season is different than a shul that's meant to be used all the time. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Govazuzi, why would be the halach if they already collected money? Umachsi, and the Gaboyim already have that money. Mai, at that point, are you allowed to demolish the shul? Says the Gemara, Amalei, no. Dilma Misramalei Pinyin Shvuyim, we need to be concerned that maybe there'll be a situation of Pinyin Shvuyim, and that money that they put away, they're going to use for the Pinyin Shvuyim. Says the Gemara, Shragi V'Livni, if they already have the building materials, the Hadri Haduri, and they had the materials for the roof, or Machsi Kishuri, and they have the beams, at that point, what is the halacha? Could they demolish the first shul? Says the Gemara, Amalei, Zimna Mesamalei Pinyin Shvuyim, the same concern that there may be a situation of Pinyin Shvuyim, Mezavin V'Yavalei, and they're going to sell these raw material and not have a shul. So ask the Gemara, if that's a concern, so the halacha should be, even after they built the shul, why should we not be concerned that they're going to sell it because of Pinyin Shvuyim? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, the Rasa, the Nishlem Zamni. People don't sell a shul. Once it's already built, it's like a place where we live. And once it's a place that we live, we don't sell it. This is Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Does the Gemara mean to say that a person normally at such a point will not sell the shul? Or it means that you're not allowed to sell a shul, says the Gemara. But this entire discussion, says the Gemara, V'loy Amaron, Ed L'chazer B'tiyu, that there are no cracks. Av L'chazer B'tiyu, if the shul is getting worn out, Sasri Abani, then you can demolish it and put up a new shul. Kader of Ashi L'chazer B'tiyu B'kanishta, the Masa Mechasya, he saw that the shul of Masa Mechasya was getting ruined, Sasrei, and he demolished it. However, because he wanted to make sure that the shul will be rebuilt, Ayla Puria Hassam, he put his bed there, and the Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is, and he went and he slept there. V'loy Afka Adam Sakal Shvichei, it wasn't, he didn't move out until the shul was complete, with even the gutters, the roof, everything there. So of course, Tosfos asks that the halacha is that you're not allowed to sleep in a shul. So how could he have done this? So Tosfos says, he didn't put his bed in the actual shul. He put the bed in one of the side rooms. Another teretz that Tosfos answers, that we're speaking about the Batei Knesiyos Shebebavel, and the halacha is that the Batei Knesiyos Shebebavel were made al tanai, that they were made with a stipulation that you could do whatever you can, and therefore the tanai says that if you need to sleep there, it's mutter. But the Ran has a different approach, two different approaches. The Ran says that he's taking the why you're not allowed to sleep in a shul because it's disrespectful to the shul. But says the Ran, if you're taking your bed into the shul because you want to make sure that the shul is going to be rebuilt, that's not disrespectful. That's respectful. The Ran also says that if a Talmud Chacham has a different reason, has different rules, and he was a Talmud Chacham. There's a discussion in the Paiskim. Our Gemara just taught us how careful we have to be about not demolishing a shul when we may and when we may not. The Paiskim discuss, what about a mikveh? May one demolish a mikveh before a new mikveh was built? And the Shas and Chuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelek Hei, Simon Samach Beis, Samach Gimel, discusses the Shaila. And he says, certainly one may not demolish a mikveh before a new mikveh is built. And he brings a raya, because the halacha is if a community has limited funds, the halacha is that one should preferably use the funds for a mikveh than for a shul. So says the Ramban, so says the Mechas Yitzchak, if that's the halacha that we should preferably use the funds for a shul, for a mikveh over a shul, certainly the halachas are making shul, the mikveh is there, like the halachas of a shul. Ask the Gemara, Baba Ben Buta, Hech Azbele Eitzel Hordus, Lemester Beis HaMikdash, how could have Baba Ben Buta advised Hordus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? But ask the Gemara, haven't we learned in our shir? You can't demolish it until you have another Beis HaMikdash. So of course the Ben Yehuda asks a question. When we speak about a shul, you could have numerous shuls. So since you could have numerous shuls, we have halacha, you can't destroy one shul until you have another shul. A Beis HaMikdash, there's only one Beis HaMikdash. So there's only one Beis HaMikdash. So what is the other option if we want to have the Beis HaMikdash refurbished? So says the Ben Yehuda, it wasn't necessary to destroy the entire, to demolish the entire Beis HaMikdash. They should have just done a little at a time. And that's why the question is, why did he give him this advice? Ibais Amos, says the Gemara Tiyu Chazabe, he saw that the Beis HaMikdash was in disrepair. Ibais Amos, Imalchus Hoshani. It's different when it's a king doing it, Delay Hadribe. What are we worried about? That there's going to be a decision to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to rebuild the shul, and then they won't do it. By king, we don't have that concern. Damashmul, Yama Machos Accreditory, if the king says, I'm going to uproot a mountain, Ukatori Velay Hadribe. Whatever a king says, that's what's going to happen. So I saw that the Leif Simcha says that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vuka Chasin Yotzim Chibasoi, Yosus Kigibar. So he says, we know that it says in Pirkei Avos, what is the Gibar? Gibar is Kaivishas Yitzroi. So he says, we know that a Chasin is Doim Lamelech, that a Chasin on the day of his marriage is like a Melech. So just like the Gemara says that a king could, whatever he decides to do, he can and will do. So he says the same thing with the Chasin. The Chasin is a Gibar on the day of his wedding. And he can make a decision that he will be Kovish as Yetzirah, that he will prevail over his Yetzirah. And whatever the king says, the Yetzirah is like a mountain, but the king can uproot even mountains. A Chasin has incredible power that on the day of his wedding, he can even uproot the Yetzirah, he can be Kovish the Yetzirah.